a recent survey should give Christians around the world an uplift, because it showed that Christianity is not only the biggest religion in the world, but it's the fastest growing religion in the world, especially in Latin America, Asia, and Africa. There's explosive growth to the point where they can't build churches and seminaries fast enough to meet the need. And it's very important for us in the West, I think, to be aware of this, because we tend to look at Christianity, obviously, through the lens of the Western experience, where, you know, churches are closing down and numbers are decreasing. We get the impression that Christianity is in some state of decline. Actually, au contraire, as the French would say, it's burgeoning in much of the world. At the same time, we have to be aware of the fact that the fastest growing religion in the world is also the most persecuted religion in the world. And that's by far the most persecuted religion. The Vatican recently showed that of all those who are killed around the world for their religious belief, 75% of them are Christians. We find this especially in these areas of explosive growth, especially in Asia and Africa, and also in the Middle East. I'll give you some examples. I mean, who could forget, was it just last Christmas, the terrible attack in Baghdad? Islamist militants went into a church where mass was going on, and they just opened fire indiscriminately, killing men, women, children. There's a horrendous detail from that story of a toddler whose parents have been killed walking behind one of the killers and just asking why they were doing this before they turned on the toddler and killed them. So, I mean, horrendous attack. They say in the last 10 years, between 600,000 and a million Christians have left Iraq because they just don't feel that they're safe. Go to Saudi Arabia and you'll find a country where no Christian public worship is allowed. The building of no Christian church is allowed at all in the entire country. We were exulting in the Arab Spring. I mean, just about a year ago, when especially in Egypt, but other parts of the Middle East, where, you know, dictators were overthrown. But you have to add that Christians in those countries are anything but cheered by the Arab Spring. It's because the dictators, with all their faults, and God knows they had faults, but at least in their secularism, they were somewhat open to the toleration of Christian religions. But now, with the fall of these tyrants, a new sort of tyranny has emerged, namely the tyranny of an Islamic majority, which is now turning on Christians. A good example is the persecution of the Copts, one of the oldest Christian groups in the world, Egyptian Christians, who are being, in a very public way, attacked. There's a terrible story I just ran across recently in the Wall Street Journal about a woman who has two young daughters, and her doctor sort of blithely informed her in Cairo that they would be, according to Sharia law, circumcised. And she felt the country just wouldn't protect them, and so she felt obliged to leave. And that's true of a lot of Christians in Egypt and other Muslim countries. The terrible story, again, just this past Christmas from Nigeria, where the president has declared a state of emergency over the number of attacks on Christians. A group called Boko Haram has claimed credit for a Christmas attack that killed, I think it was 42 people in a church in Nigeria. And the case that's maybe the most troubling involves a woman named Asiya Bibi, who is from Pakistan. She's a Christian, and on a trumped-up charge of blaspheming the Prophet Muhammad, has been thrown into prison. She was tried, she was convicted of blasphemy, and condemned to death. And now she languishes in a prison in Pakistan, where by all accounts she is praying for her persecutors. Extraordinary story of a Christian courageous witness in the face of persecution. So we can see this now all over the world, but especially in Asia, Middle East, and Africa, a number of Christians who are frankly risking their lives simply to attend services, simply to announce in any public way that one's a Christian in some of these countries is to take one's life into one's hands. A lot of these people, and I've mentioned several now, who've been martyred, stand in the tradition of Peter and Paul, of Charles Lwanga, of Edith Stein. They stand in the tradition of great Christian witnesses. And it's important for us just to be aware of this. There are these heroes of the faith even now. We can think of, you know, the age of martyrs as long ago. Well, of course, the 20th century was the century that had the most Christian martyrs of any century in history. And it continues. Say what you want about the terrible Christian history around this. And I'm the first one to admit that Christians have not, over the centuries, been always models of toleration and so on. But the fact remains that as 2012 dawns, by far the most persecuted group in the world are Christians, religious group in the world. Now, at this point, I'll make a little confession. This reflection was prompted, at least in part, by an article I read in the National Catholic Reporter, and it was about their Person of the Year. They chose as their Person of the Year Sister Elizabeth Johnson, who's a professor of theology at Fordham University in New York. And she was chosen because she was a persecuted victim. Now, why? Well, because the bishops of America, the Doctrinal Commission of the USCCB, criticized one of Sister Johnson's books as being not really up to par in terms of Catholic theology. They didn't excommunicate her. They didn't remove her from her teaching position. They didn't declare her not to be a Catholic theologian. They criticized one of her books. Well, what struck me when I read that article was, okay, here's the Person of the Year, a tenured professor at Fordham, lionized by the academic community, in full possession of her job, capacity to write, etc. And she's a persecuted victim? I mean, give me a break. The 1970s era narrative of the brave, progressive theologian fighting against the repressive church is actually a very tired narrative and utterly unilluminating. Far more compelling, in my judgment, is the story of these very brave Christians around the world who are publicly witnessing to their faith, even risking their lives to do so. In my judgment, they deserve to be the persons of the year.